From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Ridley Pearson is a number one New York Times bestselling author of more than 50, yeah, you heard me right, 50 award-winning novels. They include such books as Peter and the Starcatchers, the Kingdom Keeper series, and he's releasing a new book this month called Cautionary Tales. And in the middle of all that writing, he's also currently teaching a class at Boise State University. And I must confess, Ridley's one of our favorite guests here on Idaho Matters. So we are excited to have him back on the program. Ridley, welcome.
Thanks. I'm honored to be here, Gemma. Thank you.
All right. So I don't know if we've really talked much since the pandemic hit. What did you do during all of that time? Were you writing? Were you just relaxing? What was life like?
I became a cook.
Oh,
no, I'll talk about that. But no, I always write. I write every day and certainly did through the pandemic. I rewrote my entire Kingdom Keepers series during the pandemic,
really?
All seven books. Disney had found that my readership would go into the park looking for some of the clues I had in the books, and those had long since been taken down and replaced by other rides 15 years later. So they had me rewrite the entire series. So that took my 2 years. I also wrote a musical.
You did?
Called The Academy, based off of one of my books. I co-wrote what they call the book, the script, and I wrote all the music and lyrics for it. And that's in rewrite now as well. But we performed it in Connecticut last spring and just had a blast. I was out there for 6 weeks rehearsing it. So I've been very active, but mainly at the time of the pandemic, our daughters came home from New York City, and my wife had broken her foot, so I'd been cooking dinners. And once they came home, I dove into the New York Times cooking. And I cooked every dinner for 6 months in sort of a semi-gourmet fashion and just had a blast cooking.
Wow. So I needed to break my foot during the pandemic in order to
Before that, Marcel had broken her foot like 4 months before. So I'd been cooking for four nights, you know, every night of the week for four months. And then the kids came home and I just kept going. So I've got these notebooks full of like 300 recipes.
Wow. Okay. So take me back to rewriting the Kingdom Keepers. I didn't even think about that, Ridley, but you're right.
I didn't either. This was a phone call that came out of the blue for me. They literally called up and they said, you know, we're going to have to let these books run out of print. And I went, what? Because we've sold a couple million copies of these. And, and they said, it's just a hassle for the people in the parks because the kids come in with their parents to follow the books and the attractions that are in them just aren't there anymore. And I said, well, if I rewrite them all, could we keep them in print? And they said, well, that would work. And so it was an amazing project because I had to go through them all. At first, I edited the first two, and then I just rewrote the remaining five because it had
It
was too hard to edit them. So I just almost started over. And I had a blast doing it, but it was incredibly time consuming. I mean, I literally basically wrote seven books in 2 years, and it was incredible.
Oh, wow. Well,
but they're out and it's really fun.
Well, and I have to say, because my kids have read a couple of them, but they're the older versions. And I'm thinking I have a fifth grader. So, I mean, what a great way to get them reading. But I love the idea of these kids coming into the parks, frankly, and they've read these books. And so they want to explore and they want to find what you write about.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's been going on for years. And in fact, it was so popular at one point that Disney had me write a quest for their educational side inside a couple of their parks on the East Coast. And we had, I think we had over 60,000 students do that over about an 8 year period.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really
crazy.
People, you know, schools would bring in the entire sixth and seventh grade and they'd all go on my quest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was basically kind of like a treasure hunt or something, except that they learned about math and language arts without knowing they were learning that.
And that's the best way to do it. And sneaky. I would think that when you rewrote these, I mean, you're right, how the attractions change, how they bring new, right? So yeah. You would have to eventually do that or go out of print, as they told you.
Yeah, and I had all these clues on signs and things, and they weren't there anymore, you know. So I've toned that down some in the new series, so I might get another 10 or 15 years out of it. I didn't want to
exactly,
do this again.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you've got the new book coming out this month. Now tell us about it. It's called Cautionary Tales.
So Disney came to me in the midst of all of that, working on Kingdom Keepers, and they said, look, we have an idea for what we call a specialty book. So mm-hmm. we put more effort into the cover. We make it an unusual size. It's highly illustrated. And we want to do one that's kind of Halloween-oriented, scary stories based on Disney iconic characters. And we wondered if you wanted to write it. And I said, heck yes.
Sure, why not?
And so we started this process of, I wasn't allowed to sort of, you know, they have all the classic stories, so I couldn't rewrite their classic stories. They wouldn't allow that. And some characters they wouldn't let me play with. But basically, they just threw me into the sandbox and said, you know, what do you think? And I chose the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin. Instead of having Aladdin in it, I have the Cave of Wonders.
Oh.
And I invented a backstory for this crazy villainous creature they've got called Chernabog, who appears in Fantasia. He's one of my favorite villains, and he's in the Kingdom Keepers a lot. And I had, there's a piece of Snow White when there's a heart in a box.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I wrote a story called The Heartless Pig. And it's instead of a story about Snow White, it's a story about the huntsman and that beating heart that is found in a box. And I played around with Beauty and the Beast. I wrote sort of a precursor to Beauty and the Beast. And calling them scary is, you know, that's a little too much. They're more suspenseful than scary. But
okay,
because, you know, Disney isn't going to do real scary stuff. So I think the fun part for me, Gemma, was that they had asked for a number of short stories.
Mm.
And I love short stories personally, but I know a lot of people are not as keen to buy a book of short stories. And in case that included kids, I went to my editor, Lauren Berniak, and asked if I could write a through line. In other words, a new story that sits on top of all the short stories, so that if you read the book from cover to cover, it reads almost like a novel. But if you want to open up and just read some short story on page 34, that would work as well. So
difficult is that?
Yeah, it made it more complex to do, but
holy
I
cow.
Think it gives a more rewarding experience for the young reader, because if they start at the start, they'll attach to these two characters, one named Tim and a young woman named Billy, and they'll stay with Tim and Billy through the whole book. So that was my idea, was just sort of to do what we call a through line and sort of stitch all the short stories together. And it was super fun. It was like handling a Rubik's Cube. But I think in the end, we got a really fun book, and it's illustrated by Abigail Larson, who has won all sorts of illustration awards, and she just nails it. I mean, every page has an illustration on it. It's just beautiful.
What's it like writing these types of novels for middle school, for young adults?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what I appreciate about your books, being a mom to boys in particular, it is, and you and I have talked about this before, Ridley, I think it is so hard to find really engaging books for boys that aren't kind of slapstick silly, that start to have more depth in them and to get them to love reading. And I think you do that so well.
Well, thanks. I mean, that's my whole purpose here. You know, you don't do things with Disney for the money. You really do it so it has a second life in something. And what thrilled me about the Kingdom Keepers is I would get emails from parents saying, you know, Johnny wasn't a reader at all at 11, And we were so worried about him. And we got on to Peter and the Starcatchers, or we got on to the first Kingdom Keepers book, and now we can't keep him out of the library. And I just went, This is why I am writing, you know, is to get young kids reading and enjoying it. So it's very kind of you to say that, because that really is my whole mission here, is to give the kids something that's deep and fun and exciting and familiar in that it's set within Disney. So if I do that, I win.
Yeah. Okay. Of all the books you've written, which one was the most difficult to write?
Whoa. Oh, boy, you're nailing me here. I think the most complex on my end would have been Cautionary Tales, but if it reads that way, I'm in trouble, and I don't think it does. But because I was dealing with characters that have certain rules about them, so I would write one of these short stories and send it to my editor, and she'd say, we can't do that. And I'd go, oh yeah, okay, and I'd start it again. And she'd say, okay, that's okay, but now how are you gonna get Billy and Tim in here? So it really was a Rubik's Cube, in that there are certain characters, like the Marvel and Star Wars characters, you just can't mess with, even though Disney owns them. And occasionally I would be tempted to do that, or I would be in the Aladdin world and they say, you can't touch the Aladdin characters, but you can use the setting. And, you know, there were just a number of rules. They all make sense when you look at them, but at the time I was too dumb to figure it out. And I'd go, oh, right, okay. And I'd start again, you know.
So
it was a complex book to do, just because of what I could and couldn't do. And then this idea of trying to string it all together.
Yeah. Okay. Easiest book to write.
Oh, gosh. Well, the Kingdom Keepers books in the children's, because I write for adults too, but in the children and young readers, the Kingdom Keepers books have been so fun to write. I don't know that any of them are easy. Most of my books, Gemma, take four full, I tell this to middle school kids when I go in and speak to them, they take four full drafts at the minimum to be published.
Gosh.
So, I mean, I rewrite every sentence, every chapter four full times. One of my adult thrillers called White Bone, my most recent thriller, it's maybe 5 years old now. White Bone was 9 full rewrites to get it
Holy
published.
Holy cow. Just, how do you stay interested then? Honestly, I would throw my hands
right.
up.
No, that is it. That's the whole challenge, right? How do you keep energy when you've already done this thing 8 times?
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of what sets professional writers against, you know, just sort of amateur having fun writers, is that, and I talk to my students about this, is, you know, a serious writer understands that the first is the worst. The first draft is generally the worst draft. And that as students, whether you're writing a history paper or an English paper, if you are the student who writes 2 or 3 drafts, you will get the A in the class. And especially if you send that work in when you send in your finished draft, so that you show the teacher, here's what I did to the first one, here's what I did to the second one, and I'm giving you the third one. And the teacher will go, hey, this is a serious writer.
So let's talk about this, because you are back teaching at Boise State University.
I am.
And so what class are you teaching right now?
So right now, the fall semester is called Form and Function in Creative Writing. And because I've written some graphic novels, they asked me to teach a course in writing graphic novels. And it was popular enough that they're bringing me, I was going to teach again in the spring, and they never quite let me know until about now when I'm teaching, but they've asked me to do this again. So it's really fun teaching the kids. I've got a great class this year, by the way. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but they're just fabulous.
So when you teach them, and when you are, you know, with writing, I mean, it goes back to what you said, I think, about how do you stay engaged? Because, I mean, literally you blew my mind when you said, you know, your last adult novel was 9 full drafts.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to keep up that type of not even energy, I think, but frankly, your own personal engagement.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard.
In a book. It's hard, right. So,
and
how,
you know, you
how
start with a 600 page book, and when you're done those nine drafts, it's 325. A lot of it is just cutting, and where to cut and how to cut to keep the pace up, still maintain character development. You know, it gets to be kind of a science by about draft five.
And so then how do you relay that then to your students, in the sense of like, all right, you know, you can just write because it's a great outlet, creative outlet for you. But if you want to make this a career, I mean, you know, here's what this really looks like. And, right. I say that because I've spoken to numerous classes over the years about, you know, broadcasting and journalism.
Sure.
And I've always said to people, I'm like, if you can honestly think of doing something else that will give you as much joy, go do it. Because
That's how I ought to open up my classes, Gemma.
Because
their jaws
hard.
Drop when I tell them about the four drafts, their jaws hit the desk. It's like, wait, do I really want to do this?
And but I
tell
think
them,
it's really
opening day for
that-
me is look at, I can't teach writing. And they all look at me like, what? And I say, I can teach you to be a better writer. Yeah. But if you aren't a writer, I can't teach that, because being a writer is writing every day. It's being focused. It's staying true to your story. And that can't be taught. That has to be something that you just understand has to be done and you want to do it.
It has to be something, I think, that where it is a part of who you are in a way. And I think that that's what you know, when I say, like, if you can think of yourself doing something else, go do it.
That's so funny.
Well, because it's not as glamorous, I think, right. as we make certain professions look. I've interviewed enough authors over the years too that I think it can be a very lonely profession.
Oh my gosh, you spend 8-9 hours a day in a room with the door shut. It's horribly lonely. Years ago, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did a profile on me, and the opening line was something like, Ridley Pearson's life is dripping in glamour. And my wife and I read that and just burst out laughing and said, what planet were they on when they wrote that? Oh my gosh, I'm in my underwear writing for 10 hours a day. What is glamorous about that?
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? And so I love, though, that when you, you know, when you're talking to your students, though, it's like you can't teach someone how to write, but I think, you know, to give them maybe a roadmap, right? And are you going to use the map or not is ultimately up to them.
And you can't teach someone to be a broadcaster. You just can't. You know, they've got to have that feeling. They've got to have that approach to people. You got to get up at 3 a.m. I mean, give me a break.
I know. It's ever so glamorous. It truly, truly is.
Exactly.
All right. So the book is out. Cautionary Tales is out now. People can get it for their kiddos. Teaching at Boise State. You'll do it again in the spring.
Yes.
And what else is in the works then?
I'm rewriting this musical that was an incredible challenge, and I hired what's called a dramaturg, which is a person who edits stage plays, the person who did Peter and the Starcatchers and Aladdin and a few others.
Okay.
And he really liked what we had. This is like my first book I wrote. He said, I really like the, because we had videoed it and recorded it when we had it performed in Connecticut. And he said, I really like this. And at the end, I thought, what did I just see? And my co-writer and I went, oops. And he said, I think it's really good. I just think you're going to have to start all over. So we're starting all over.
Okay.
And
that'll take a little bit of time.
And I'm writing three. Disney's asked me to write 8 more books. So I'm writing 2 more, actually 3 total Kingdom Keepers books. The next comes out in February. And then because I do love getting young people reading, I've agreed to start a 6-book series of much smaller, more highly illustrated books called The Magical Map, which will be young kids, very young kids, sort of 6, 7, 8, inside Disneyland following a magical map.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And what a great age group for a book like that.
Really cool age group to write for. Yeah. About a challenge. That one's really hard, but and I'll have to learn. I mean, I'm in my first draft, and I imagine I'm making all sorts of mistakes.
So. It's okay. You got about eight more, right?
Eight more drafts
than you. Good.
That's funny.
Okay, Rock Bottom Remainders. Have you been together since the pandemic?
We have. This is a band with Stephen King, Amy Tan, Dave Barry, Mitch Albom, whom I'm going to Haiti with in 2 weeks to go to his orphanage, and Scott Turow, who just had a book come out, and many others. And we played in Nantucket in June. A couple of the members couldn't make it, but we had an amazing show at the Nantucket Book Fair there. It was really, really fun. I think it was our last show, but after whatever it's been, 31 years or something, it deserved to be our last show because we still are the worst band you've ever heard. But we do it to raise money or to help nonprofits, and we just had a ton of fun.
I love it. Well, Ridley, as always, it is such a pleasure to have you on the program.
You're so kind. Thank you. Go
Absolutely.
Broncos.
We've been talking with New York Times bestselling author Ridley Pearson, talking about his new book, Cautionary Tales, his teaching at Boise State University as well. I want to thank all of you for joining us today on Idaho Matters. We sure appreciate you. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our associate producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.